There is a remarkable new anthology entitled Holding On, Letting Go, that collects stories by people who've learned to look death in the eye and savor life's great gifts. Bestselling author Abigail Thomas leads the memoir group at Kingston's Oncology Support Program at the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley. In 2011, after her daughter was diagnosed with triple-negative breast cancer, Thomas volunteered to lead a five-week writing workshop. Well, 2 years later, it's still going strong. Abigail Thomas joins us this morning, and it's always a delight to be in her presence. Good morning, Abigail.
Good morning. How are you? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Barbara Smith is a breast cancer survivor. Barbara Sarah, I apologize. That is what it says. However, my glasses are dirty. Barbara Sarah, a breast cancer survivor and one of the book's 15 contributors, founded the Oncology Support Program, and it's a delight to have Barbara with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And we also welcome two of the other contributors to the anthology. Carol Dwyer is with us, and Craig Mohert, is that correct?
It's pretty close, Joe. I say Mohert.
Mohert.
That's it.
Excellent. And Craig and Carol, thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you here. So, Abigail, let us begin with your involvement and how you came to this, and ultimately why you decided that this was something important for people who were in this stage of life.
Well, I didn't think of it so much as something important in this stage of life as I thought of it as the thing I do best. And I wanted to do, and I've learned so much since then, but memoir teaching and writing is what I'm best at, and I wanted to offer what I was best at doing. What I've learned is more than I could even tell you from this group of writers.
So, but to put the two of them together to say, okay, for this particular group of people, I want to have them do this because I feel that it can be beneficial in some way.
Yes, and it is, I think. I think you wake up in the morning engaged in something. You're looking forward to the next thing. We have we have 18 people now.
Yes.
And every week, everybody hears from everybody else all kinds of things, how their past week has been, what their childhood was like. We have witnesses to our lives, and it's astonishing. And the whole room is filled with now, this minute, now. It's great.
You will start this often by a prompt.
Always, yeah.
So give us an example of what a prompt would be.
Well, the first exercise I give everybody is to take any 10 years of your life, reduce them to 2 pages, and every sentence has to be 3 words long. And you'll find there's nowhere to hide behind a 3-word sentence. And things that you really weren't expecting to say come bubbling out. You also find that the next week you're only speaking in 3-word sentences every time you talk to somebody. But it's a very good exercise. And it's kind of like AA in that everybody has to do this impossible thing. And it's sort of a leveling and very interesting way to get to know each other.
And it's a way of thinking and a way of exploring.
It's a way of thinking, yeah. It's a way of learning what to leave out, too. You put in what's most important, even if it's just the way the grass smelled, in 1952.
And that may have been Freudian of saying live out, too, right?
It's possible.
Yes. Barbara Sarah is founded the Oncology Support Program. This is a program that's been going on for over 20 years.
We're in our 20th year. I was diagnosed with breast cancer 21 years ago, and there was nowhere in the area where you could go for support or a place to talk about breast cancer in your life. And so I took some Japanese philosophies that I've been teaching for about 25 years and applied them to how do you live fully with illness. And one of the things that I've done is to bring creative arts into the program, healing arts. And writing has been really wonderful since the beginning, but not like this. This has been the crown and glory of our program.
Carol, tell us a little bit about your story and what brought you to the program.
Well, actually, Barbara Sarah did, because we happened to be neighbors right when I was finishing up my radiation treatment. And Barbara said, Carol, you would really like this. And I've been very reticent about joining support groups. I found that I was kind of everybody's worst nightmare, having stage 4 metastatic cancer. And Barbara said, no, you'll really like this. So she got me first to go to the metastatic support group and then asked me to join the memoir group. And I am in. And both of the groups are kind of connected now. There's yeah. 5 of us in the metastatic support group that have joined the memoir group. And you get to know like a different level of about a person in a very short period of time mm-hmm. through the writing.
Craig, tell us your story and what brought you to the program.
Well, I had throat cancer, which became lung cancer. And I really needed to reintegrate myself into a viable life. I was ashamed and afraid, and I had lost my voice, and I felt really that I couldn't participate in life the way that I used to. What this group did for me was, in a sense, give me another opportunity to have a voice. Not only this physical voice, which is a manufactured voice, if you will, but the voice of writing. Once you begin to write about not only your cancer experience, but your whole life experience, a whole new world opens up to you. And that's really what happened to me. It's just changed my life in the most amazing ways.
Give us an example of how it's changed your life.
Well, first of all, when we decided to do this book, Holding On, Letting Go, which is now available, and we're all we're doing readings and book signings for the book.
Look at you promoting that.
Oh,
why not?
Very good at that.
Man,
you can probably
like
make
a
change,
pro, man.
Anybody wants a book? I have a bunch with me.
Yeah. Like, gone to media training. Good for you. All right.
Anyway, the point is that when we decided, first of all, it was really Abby who said to us all, the work is so amazing and so good, we really should do a book.
Yeah.
And then little by little, in a kind of organic way, we all sort of got on board and kept talking about it. And lo and behold, we decided to do it, not knowing what we would get into, because it's a huge endeavor. And not everybody is equal to the task. Some people are in treatment right now, and we're not available to do a lot of the work, because it's a lot of work. Some of the rest of us were on the forefront and did a lot of the work. And the book has been a kind of symbol of what I talked about. It's giving you a voice. It's getting you out in the world. You're sharing your story, not only your old story, but your new story. And all of us then have this opportunity to sort of reach out to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Share the story, educate people, and enlighten them in a way. Not to mention the fact that it's great writing. I mean, the idea of the book is to discuss not only cancer, but how we got there. So it's great writing with a great message.
I was actually struck by that, Abigail, that in looking at in reading the book, that I think it's possible to pick it up. If you remove the front cover and you picked it up and you read it, you would not necessarily know that this was from an oncology support group. I mean, cancer is not the operative word here.
I think that's what's so interesting about this. It isn't all cancer. It's memory. It's people writing for their grandchildren. It's things that are occurring to us every day. I think that's what makes this even more remarkable, because our minds go everywhere. Our imaginations are everywhere. It's not just what's happening physically.
I'm hoping that we can hear from a couple of pieces from the book. Who would like to read for us?
I have. I could read My Pictures.
This is Carol Dwyer, and My Pictures, which is in the collection.
It is. When I was a very little girl, my mother showed me a piece of black construction paper that had chalk scribbles on it and the letters that spelled out her name. I looked up at her amazed. She was showing me an artifact of prehistory, a time before I existed, a time before my mother knew me. Mom was showing me that she had been a little girl once, too. It was a moment that fed one of my passions, a passion of documenting my history and the history of the times I lived in with the people that I loved. I began in kindergarten, and all through high school, I saved catechism tests, spelling book pages, and stories that I wrote. I began taking pictures on a Brownie camera I was given at Christmas when I was about 10. I wanted to remember what it was like to be me as a child. I wanted my children to see what my life was about. I was grabbing bits of time and holding them for as long as I could. I took pictures more seriously at the age of 15 on my yashika and developed them in a dark room. I could see the power of the truth in the unposed faces that I captured, my mother not smiling, and my baby brother's dirty face. Then there was college, and after that, my clothing store in the East Village. I took pictures of my shop windows, my neighbors, and friends. I documented the evolution of my style and confidence, the gentrification of our neighborhood. I got married and documented the life I shared with my husband and his early career, then our children, and later my new neighborhood and friends when I was on my own again. So it's not a total surprise when I was diagnosed with cancer that I documented my journey with the disease. I took pictures of my breasts before they left me and my hair as it fell out in the drain. I had someone take pictures of my son shaving my head. After surgery, I was in the bathroom and I called to my daughter to grab my camera. "Mom, what are you doing?" she asked. I was laughing at the sight of me in the mirror, wearing only pink underpants and a striped cap on my bald head and a bandaged chest. I had four lymph drains coming out of my sides, resting on the sink as my friend and I measured the liquid inside them. I was laughing that my inside color was coordinated with the outside and documented it with my camera. Then Dana took a full-length picture of me laughing at what was a difficult moment. I was also taking pictures of my son's new tattoos and my daughter going to the prom, our potluck Christmas caroling parties, and all the other sweet things I could grab hold of. You never know when you might forget how special every day is. People that are so important to you are here and then gone. A picture can't replace them. It only holds a moment that you shared or something that you didn't know about them, except that there they are. In the picture, there, in the stroller, at their wedding, or on their last trip. So it feels odd now, as I witness the nearness of mortality in my own life, that I should slow down on the documentation of it. I look at all the moments I have collected, and I realize that these are my moments, and I won't be here to share them. I am less and less behind the camera, but more and more just breathing in this brief moment that we call life. I can't hold it. It can't be held, just lived and breathed, and it is not always easy, but can be enjoyed nonetheless. I have pictures to prove it.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
How long after you took those pictures did you write that?
This I wrote, I think it was last year. Mm-hmm. So it took a little while, but I have been documenting the whole process with pictures. So it was easier for me to do it visually, and I've kept journal entries. And then once I was in Abby's group, it was like I was able to really start doing more of the really forming it into the words.
Isn't that, to me, there is a... And I guess this gets into our different personalities, and that so many of us have this artistic side that we will, in the roughest of times, go to photography, go to writing, go to art, in some way, as a release and an outlet. I assume you see that in the people who are in this group.
The people in this group are the most alive people I know. I think we're all lucky if we're the kind of people who have to make something out of nothing or make something beautiful out of what is a terrible experience or just make something separate. Yeah, I think the impulse to make something, whatever it is we're so lucky to be able to do it. I'm so lucky to be in this workshop. I'm so lucky.
Leading this workshop.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I never thought I was a writer. I'm a social worker and a person who made the program happen. But what's happened as being part of this group is that everything that happens to me now, I say, I have to write about that. I have to write about this experience. And it's been so enlivening for me to know that I can put it down and just the most recent thing I wrote about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Yeah. Those were thoughts that were inside me in the past about the pinking of America. But to write about it, to give voice, as Craig says, was just spectacular.
It's a beautiful book. It's Holding On, Letting Go. Abigail, Barbara, Carol, Craig, thank you so much for sharing and joining us, and best of luck with the book project. It's a delight to have you all here.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.